Hello and welcome to Hanging Pixels, a podcast for professional photographers where we discuss trends in the photo industry, focusing on the rapidly evolving world of digital photography. My name is T.W. Woodward and I'm your host. In early 2018, Shutterfly shocked the photo industry by purchasing the school photo colossus LifeTouch for $825 million, acquiring access to over 10 million households along the way. Even more shocking has been the accelerated rate of change, with LifeTouch images now delivered through the Shutterfly app directly to customer smartphones. With me today is Mark Shainrock, who served as VP of Photography at LifeTouch and enjoyed a 25-year career. Mark and I are going to take a look behind the scenes at LifeTouch, talk about the business practices that led up to the acquisition, and speculate as to where this new juggernaut is headed. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, TW. Thanks for having me.
First of all, I'd like to introduce you to our listeners and learn a bit about your background. I didn't seek out the photography industry. I kind of fell into it. And as I meet more and more photographers, I find that's pretty common. How did you end up in the photo industry?
Well, he's somewhat similar. I was actually the VP of Human Resources for the LifeTouch school business when the chairman had the crazy idea of putting me in charge of photography. In fact, I was conducting a search for the VP of photography at the time, but I didn't really see any candidates that I thought could really get it. And what I mean by that is, you know, LifeTouch is kind of an anomaly. There's nothing as big as that in the photography business. At the time, we were photographing over 30 million students. You'd be training 10,000 photographers in all 50 states and Canada. And there wasn't too many people out there that had that kind of an experience set that I could bring into the job.
So what was the career path at LifeTouch? What was your title when you started?
Yeah, well, I spent about 25 years with them and then two more years as a consultant. I got hired way back when as the director of training for the portrait studios business. I later on added human resources to that. And during that time, frankly, I was given some great opportunities. I was able to start the customer service function. Later on, I had the marketing group report to me for a while. And then I moved over to the schools business where I was the VP of HR, then the VP of photography. Hey, and by the way, while I was the VP of HR, they gave me, believe it or not, oversight for the Canadian business for a period of time. How crazy is that?
Awesome. So what year did you leave LifeTouch?
Oh, gosh, it was December 2014.
And so you retired in 2014.
Yeah.
You know this company top to bottom, basically, right? I mean, it sounds like you've held multiple positions in multiple different types of photography.
Yep. I was in all the three major business segments, church, right. Portrait studio, and schools.
Right.
Most of my time in schools.
Right. And so you retired in 2014, and that was when this famous ESOP was in place. And for our listeners that might not know, ESOP stands for Employee Stock Ownership Plan. Can you explain to us the ESOP and how that worked?
Yeah, sure. It's an amazing thing. It is a retirement plan, and it invests primarily in stock of the sponsoring company. So in that case, it was LifeTouch. Contributions are made to the ESOP by the company for the benefit of the employees who participate in the plan. And the stock can gain or lose value based on the performance of the company. It's not publicly traded. It's privately held by the ESOP trust. And I got to tell you, LifeTouch had a very, very successful ESOP. And over the years, thousands of retiring employees benefited from that plan. But it also requires continual growth year after year. And that's pretty tough to do, particularly when you go through a wave or, frankly, waves of new technology like digital and disruptions like the cloud and, frankly,
smartphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So it what you're saying is it couldn't go on forever.
Well, apparently not. Yeah. You know, but it is pretty remarkable. LifeTouch and the ESOP model worked for decades. But like I said, it takes just a ton of cash. And every year, and it takes cash because every year you have to pay out that share value to retiring plan participants. They call that a repurchase obligation, and that took millions of dollars over the years. If you think about it, the fact that LifeTouch went through this conversion of film to digital, they bought over 250 companies, they led the industry in market share, pretty astonishing.
Yep. So in early 2018, Shutterfly comes along, and the ESOP must have been very appealing to employees. But I know that it was also a sticking point during the acquisition. There was a post-acquisition lawsuit brought by LifeTouch employees. So I imagine this was a pretty big deal during the whole process. And for a big company, I imagine it could be an albatross around the neck. Gosh, I somehow feel that there's a parallel to the United States Social Security system where at some point the numbers just they don't meet where we want them to meet. My question is, how much of a role do you think the ESOP played in the decision to sell LifeTouch to Shutterfly?
Most of it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if the ESOP was a sticking point, but certainly it was the catalyst, let's put it that way, I think, that drove the company to a new strategy. The leadership team, and this is what you got to do as a leadership team inside of an ESOP company, is you've got to meet those obligations year after year. And when profits get impacted by stuff like, well, we can talk about that later, but profits get impacted, that means there's less cash flow. When you've got less cash flow, it becomes more difficult to invest, and it becomes a little bit harder to meet those repurchase obligations. So, you know, leadership, and in the case of LifeTouch, Michael Meek, who was the CEO, he did what a good leader does. He identified the problem, he assessed the options, and frankly, he solved the problem. I got to believe it was an exceptionally difficult decision because, like you said, the ESOP was just, I mean, LifeTouch, ESOP, it was all the same. It was the culture.
Yep.
It was just amazing how it influenced what we did around there. And I'm sure after I left, the same thing. But Meek did the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it was the platform for some very successful and happy lives.
If
you talk about your employer taking care of you.
Yeah.
What other factors came into play, in your opinion? What are some of the other reasons they may have pulled the trigger? I know that that's the main reason, but anything else that
Gosh, how much time do we have here, Tia? certainly the industry is under pressure, right? And LifeTouch, as the industry leader, really felt that pressure in a big way. But maybe for now I'll single out participation rates, the increasing cost of acquiring schools and retaining those schools. And then just in general, everybody knows the cost of doing business has gone up. So, you know, if you play back and look back, consumer behavior and to a certain extent, the needs of the school have really changed. In general, it takes more to get less. What I mean by that is, as a photographer, you have to get more schools, you got to pay more commissions, you got to provide more services just to get that right to photograph students.
I agree. And one of the things that I found in my own career in the photo industry is that it's really hard to move the needle on an average sale in the photo industry. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, as the process gets more expensive, that doesn't mean you're making more money because it's a newer and better process. In my experience, the needle doesn't even move.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, you feel good when the needle doesn't go down,
right?
You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. LifeTouch headquarters is probably a 10-minute drive from my house, and I have a natural curiosity about what went on inside the mothership. So I ran the lab in business operations at a large youth sports photography company here in Minneapolis, and a couple times in my 18 years at the company, LifeTouch tried to start up a sports photography business. Mm-hmm. So I've also spent some time and energy competing directly against the LifeTouch sales teams. From the outside looking in, to me, historically, LifeTouch seemed a little slow to adapt or unable. Mind you, I was working for a much smaller company, I know, and we were very aggressive and forward-thinking, especially with digital imaging. Our team was small enough that if we could dream something up, we could test it and implement it across the company from one season to the next. How hard was it to take an idea at LifeTouch from concept to prototype to field testing to widespread implementation? And I ask this because I'm wondering, what is it that really slows down advancement in big companies?
Yeah, wow. It is a challenge in a large organization to bring a new idea from concept to reality. It's just really hard to turn a big ship. And the more aggressively you've got to turn it, the faster you have to turn it, it almost seems the harder it becomes. So the culture of an organization's got a lot to do with it. The perspective of the leadership are huge factors. You and I have talked about how difficult it can be to bring program implementation, new photo programs to bear inside of a large company. So at one point in time when I was head of the photography there, my vision was to change school photography, make it more portrait studio-like, kind of get mom to the place where she loved what she saw, that she'd say, wow. And in order to do that, you'd have to have the understanding, the support, the endorsement of the most senior of leadership. I mean, yep. The chairman needed to be on board. Mm-hmm. And every single department's impacted. And when you got a company that's filled with thousands of employees, you got IT, HR, labs, engineering, sales, marketing, operations, your own photography department, you'd have to act as a project manager in order to drive these initiatives. You'd have to yep. stay on top of it daily, weekly meetings, checks on funding. You'd get things that didn't work. You'd get people who didn't agree. I mean, it's hard in a yeah. big organization. In other words, for those things that even get the green light for a test, you got to be very intentional, and you have to spend a lot of time and a lot of energy to drive that from a test, hopefully, to wide-scale implementation.
Yeah. Across a span of years, are we talking?
Oh, no. Okay, great. Great question. No. You got to move faster than that.
Yep.
In most cases, you had to create change within a season for the next season, right?
Yep.
So a lot of times you're talking 6-month, 9-month windows to drive these things. Now, the bigger items, some of the more significant strategic items, yeah, you could talk a year, 2 years to mm-hmm. make those happen. You mm-hmm. bet.
So to summarize, if I ask you to rate the barriers to advancement inside of a large corporation, whether it's bureaucracy, vision of leadership, changing leadership, cash and funding, what are the biggest hurdles to advancement?
Wow. Well, you can only do so much without adequate cash flow or funding. So I guess I'd rate that pretty high. But again, we don't have time to go real deep into this, but let me suggest that just about everything you said is a hurdle, a significant hurdle. But I want to point out the value of great leadership and the vision that they cast as being exceptionally important. I say that because a poorly conceived vision and a lousy leader, well, it's a guaranteed path for the company's evaporation. And there are plenty of examples of concepts and vision casting that resulted in failed companies. You got to have a great leader. I mean, they increase the odds that the vision is viable. They increase the odds that it'll inspire the organization. And a great leader, they can reduce that bureaucracy. They can knock some of the stuff out of the way, and they can allocate the resources that are necessary to get stuff done. So, and on top of it, a great leader understands, you know, that some of this stuff is going to fail. There's going to be mistakes, and they handle risk better overall. So, yeah, you got to have cash, and you got to have a great leader.
All right, Mark, bear with me for a moment here. I am a man of many theories, and if you ask my mom or dad or my girlfriend or my son, they would probably tell you that I'm full of it. So bear with me, listen to my theory, and I'll let you decide just how deep the pile is.
All right.
LifeTouch was so big. I mean, 50% of all the schools in the U.S. and over 25 million subjects photographed. The numbers are absolutely staggering. And this is my theory. LifeTouch was so big that they lulled the rest of the industry to sleep, especially on the school side. In reality, and this isn't just LifeTouch, this is the entire photo industry, school photographers are really doing the same thing they'd been doing since the beginning. Even though we've advanced to this age of interconnected smart devices with millions of digital images flying around the internet, volume photographers held on to the same business model. In other words, because of LifeTouch's market dominance, they didn't see a need to innovate or change, and I'm talking about in this new digital world. Mm. And the other school photo companies followed suit in their lack of urgency. I mean, if I'm the second or third largest school photographer in the country, I'm constantly toe-to-toe with LifeTouch salespeople. I know what the LifeTouch system is. I just have to be a little bit better, give a little bit more service to get the sale and maintain the school. I'm not really forced to innovate. And my theory is that LifeTouch, because of their size and the hurdles that we talked about that large businesses face when effectuating change, they lulled the industry to sleep with a business as usual practice. Any thoughts?
Interesting theory. And yeah, I think I understand that theory, and I agree to a large extent. I'm going to throw one caveat in.
Yep.
And that's as long as the theory doesn't imply that it's the big company's job to keep the competition awake, aware, and innovative,
right.
I'm there. You know, on one hand, a big company's actions can compel a competitor to innovate. But to your point, I think in our industry, it was more likely that the competitors copied what the big companies were doing.
Sure. Sure.
And to the extent that the big companies were, you know, slow to implement a change or some type of innovation, the industry as a whole becomes slow to adopt as well. Fortunately, though, there's a few out there who are always pushing the envelope a little bit. At least, thankfully, there's a few out there. But by and large, I'd suggest that some of us in this industry, copying is easier than innovating. And when the big guy doesn't, you don't. Unfortunately, I think what that means is that some of us in the industry are kind of missing the warning signs. You know, they're out there. And we might be thinking that we're immune to the stuff that can negatively impact other people, other businesses. And, you know, maybe we've become comfortable with the way it's always been done and are uncomfortable with change. But I'll tell you, too, in many respects, I think some of us don't know what to change to.
Right. Right. Well, now LifeTouch is the feather in the cap of a sleek Silicon Valley behemoth. And boom, if you're a school photographer and according to my theory, you were lulled to sleep, you know, according to you, you were basically just playing copycat. If either of those cases are true and you haven't spent any thought or resources on innovation, especially in mobile digital platforms, you've just been left in the dust by LifeTouch.
Hmm.
So I just want to get this on record that Mark agreed with my theory. I'm not full of it. And Mark, if you could tell my girlfriend, I'm sure she'd appreciate an outside opinion.
I will do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
You know what, TW, listen, it should mean something to people out there in this industry when the leader cries uncle because it needs help to change its model,
right,
to make a paradigm
right.
shift. We need to pay attention to that.
That is an interesting point. Let me tell you about my own experience with LifeTouch this year.
All right.
I've got a 12-year-old son, and his pictures were taken in August, and naturally I ordered the digital add-on. I think it was around $9 above and beyond my print purchase. So the delivery experience to the customer was that I received an email from LifeTouch, which directed me to create a Shutterfly account. My LifeTouch images were passed into this new Shutterfly account where there's a LifeTouch tab inside the menu options. That's where I found my image and a couple of different background choices. In other words, they had a sleek digital delivery system where I ended up with the Shutterfly app on my phone. What does this tell you when I tell you about this experience? What does it tell you about the strategy behind this delivery method? What are we looking at now, and what are we peeking at around the corner as far as this LifeTouch, or I should say this Shutterfly strategy through LifeTouch?
Wow, great question. Well, you know, in some respects, it tells you everything, doesn't it? I mean, Shutterfly intends to have LifeTouch behave differently, engage differently with its consumer than any school photography company ever has.
Right.
That's all.
Yep.
That's
yep.
all. I mean, it's clearly the reason for the purchase. Shutterfly, like you mentioned, they want access to those 10 million households of image active customers. And they want to leverage, you know, those 25 million images that LifeTouch has. And even though LifeTouch and Shutterfly share a complementary customer, in fact, that's cool that they do. And I think they reported that they have like a 25% overlap of Shutterfly and LifeTouch
right.
customers.
Yep.
But guess what? I think this is right, isn't it, TW? They reported that those customers are more profitable for Shutterfly than the non-LifeTouch customers. Well, what does that tell you? Man. So I look at this and say, where else would Shutterfly find a relatively low-cost customer acquisition channel in the millions? And then you look at Shutterfly's vision. It's to be present for every important milestone and celebration of their customer. Well, LifeTouch provides a means to achieve that. Think about preschool, high school graduation, you know, the annual school photo. And then you got LifeTouch's other businesses. You got families photographed through church and portrait studios. I mean, that's just a ton of opportunity. So they bought access. They bought the ability to leverage, and they are going to drive that change hard and fast. The delivery system, folks in the school picture business, it ain't going to be what it was.
Right, right. And we're going to get into a little bit later when the focus shifts from being a photography company to being driven by a mobile slash internet based, you know, online sales of photo product based company, I really think we're going to see some big changes. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Is there anything else that you know, if we go back to the acquisition that Shutterfly might have seen in LifeTouch?
Yeah. Oh, hey, and I just got to pick up on what you said. You know, if we don't get there as an industry around mobile, guys, it's a big issue. We have to get there. The data is all over the place. We have to get there with the millennial. We have to get there with mom. It's how she conducts business. It's how she lives. We have to get mobile. So what else did they see in LifeTouch? Well, I want to use this question just to push one word.
Sure.
Preschool. I mean,
right.
You know, think about this for a moment. LifeTouch has exclusive and preferred relationships with national and regional daycare providers. You know, the preschool business is the future. Think of the opportunity for Shutterfly to engage that preschool mom for the entire life cycle, or the school cycle, I guess, of her child, and then to engage in all the child's life events. You got birthdays, holidays, Christmas, I mean, you name it. I mean, you're talking a nice customer lifetime value. Frankly, I consider the preschool business the jewel in the crown.
Yep.
And Shutterfly should place a priority on converting that customer to that mobile app as quickly as possible.
That's right. When I lived in Europe, I was a teacher at an American school, so it was in English, but it was a very small school. And it was at a time where money was flooding into Kuwait post-Iraq war.
Wow.
And so money was flowing into Kuwait, which was far away from Spain, but they had built some, with the money, they had built some tremendous American schools inside of Kuwait. And I actually met one of the leaders there that was building these schools, a Kuwaiti man, who visited Sevilla, the city I was living in Spain, and he made an offer to help me grow this school, right? And at the time when we're young, sometimes we don't always see opportunity when it smacks us over the head. Basically, he had a theory that was absolutely brilliant. You don't start building 12th grade, right? If you're building a school, you start building the preschool. And then you take those kids and you build the kindergarten. And then those kids are in first grade while you're building the next preschool and kindergarten kids, and you're riding those kids up. And
there,
so there's a very natural path to grow the business. And as soon as I saw this Shutterfly LifeTouch merger, I thought exactly what you just said. They have their eyes towards that preschool. Why? Because we're talking about life cycle retention of the customer. They don't plan to let these customers go. They're going to get them at the preschool level, and they're going to follow them through their life.
Boy, you said it. I mean, that is the jewel in the crown. And frankly, for LifeTouch, if my data's right, I believe that's the only segment that's really seen organic growth year after year, at least in recent history.
Okay, back to competing against LifeTouch, and my own opinions, whether they're right or wrong. We had a good conversation about some of the hurdles to move and effectuate change.
Yeah.
I honestly did not expect to see this delivery mechanism this in this very first school photo season. I mean, I expected, you know, give them a year after the acquisition to figure it out, give them 18 months. But they were able to make that change in 6 months, 7 months to be able to take fall photos and be able to deliver them digitally through Shutterfly. Does it surprise you that they were able to move so quickly?
You know, I'm really not that surprised. And that's because it was Shutterfly that brought the experience and the expertise to execute that strategy. And I'll tell you, having lived inside an organization that made about 250 acquisitions over the years, you learn you got to move quickly as possible anyhow to monetize that new asset. You can't just let it lay around.
Right.
And in the case of Shutterfly, you got a group of active investors watching and questioning your decisions. So, you know, they expect to see a return on the investment made. You know, sounds kind of strange, but it's like buying a new SUV or a minivan and saying to your family, hey, wait a minute. You know, we're not going to go use it yet. I want to spend a little more time. I want to learn how to use the sound system, you know, before we go on a trip. You know, so anyhow.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. And then, TW, if you look at Shutterfly's Q3 results, They had, you know, that kind of continued relative softness on that consumer division side. And so for me, I'm looking at that saying, hey, guys, you got to accelerate the integration of LifeTouch and the conversion of their customer to the broader Shutterfly product offering, and you got to get going with the marketing plan. So, you know, in my opinion, LifeTouch lacked the experience he needed to make that change.
Yep.
But then you got, voila, there's Shutterfly. So I'd argue that Shutterfly should do everything in its power to modernize LifeTouch as quickly as possible and encourage the LifeTouch sales force to do everything in its power
yep.
to get more schools as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they target – my guess is it's preschools and elementary schools would be the first target. Again, going back to that theory of you get the younger kids,
yeah,
they stick with you throughout yeah. that. You got more time with that kid to continue to sell Shutterfly product.
I think you're right on.
So let's have some fun. We're recording this in late December of 2018. So let's take some time and paint a picture. If you and I are leading this new Shutterfly LifeTouch juggernaut, what is our strategy? What are we focusing on? I think we just alluded to it. We're going to go after some of those younger kids.
Bingo.
But this is pure speculation. So if we're looking at it no longer from the perspective of a school photo company, we're now a modern internet-based software company that sells goods online. Mm-hmm. We have a new set of objectives and a new business model focused on customer acquisition, retention, and lifetime sales through the app.
Yeah, wow. Wouldn't that be fun to do, though? Man, that's it. Man, that sounds cool. Focus areas? Well, first and foremost, you got to do what you said you're going to do if you're Shutterfly, and that's modernize LifeTouch, right? And that means you got to get there with online ordering. LifeTouch, as is a lot of school providers, bound to paper, and that is an inherent problem in the model. So that has to change, and the model's got to change. So you got to get there with a mobile app, Shutterfly's app, but also Shutterfly's got to get LifeTouch their own app. It's got to. And you got to bring all those broader product offerings that Shutterfly has. You got to bring that to the LifeTouch customer, and you convert LifeTouch customers into the Shutterfly family as fast as possible.
Yep.
So modernize LifeTouch.
Yep.
Should I keep going?
I mean,
I'd look at implementing a strategy that monetizes those customers over a lifetime, just like you said.
Yep.
You got to make that switching cost really hard for the customer, right? I mean, once a customer moves all their personal images to Shutterfly, why would you want to move them out again? I mean, it's just a big hassle. So you got to make that switching cost really hard for a customer.
Yep.
Third, just think about what you purchased when you purchased LifeTouch. You purchased a relationship with 50,000 schools, and you bought the biggest daycare photography provider in the country with preschool. So you got to find a way to expand your influence and reach into those host relationships, man. I mean, not only for access to more customers, but potentially for some type of business relationship, I think. I don't know, or some kind of a service beyond photography. You know, Shutterfly, you're the best when it comes to ink on paper, right?
Yep.
So figure out how to leverage that ink on paper with these host relationships that you've got. Shutterfly now controls entry into millions of homes. Millions. Perhaps lending itself to some strategic partnerships with other companies.
Right.
Who'd pay for the privilege of access to those households. They'd be willing to add value to the relationship in some manner. So, you know, potentially Shutterfly, you do something that increases mom's loyalty to you, retains her as a Shutterfly customer,
yep.
but adds value through another partnership. I don't know. There's a whole lot of stuff you could do and have fun with.
Yep. I didn't think about that, but that Shutterfly is certainly big enough and has enough power to form those relationships. No doubt about it.
You think so?
All right, let's look at this from a cost of acquisition move. Shutterfly was obviously in a buyer's mood when they went after LifeTouch. It was a very aggressive move, in my opinion. Tech companies like Facebook or Spotify or Shutterfly, any website where you need to have a username and a password to log in, they often talk about the cost of customer acquisition. How much money do I have to spend to add one customer to my platform? What is your opinion? Again, this is pure speculation on our end. Do you think Shutterfly maintains an aggressive buyer's mode? Do we see more acquisition from Shutterfly? Or do you think this is it? They will absorb LifeTouch, rearm the sales team, and start to hammer away at the competition.
Oh, I love this question. Well, you know, Shutterfly's purchased about 14 companies, all of them a lot smaller than LifeTouch. So this is the biggest acquisition, essentially doubling their size. So I believe the first thing they've got to do is focus in on this integration. They've got to monetize the LifeTouch customer. They've got to convert that customer over to their website, to their app. They've got to convert that base from LifeTouch to Shutterfly. And then they got to leverage the combined companies, and they have to wring out that $50 million that they promised the investment group. If they don't do that, I think that's not so good for them. So they got to get those first key initiatives taken care of. They have to prove to the investors that this was, in fact, a really good deal and a good idea, and that the EBITDA target that they set will be met. You know, they just increased it. So I don't see how they make any more significant acquisitions in the near term. I mean, I wouldn't. They have to make this one work, and they have, and you know, TW, if they do, then they have a template for the future. I'd argue that some of the school picture competition is going to stumble. And as the model out there changes, and, you know, we'll talk about that, I think, some of these competitors are themselves going to become future acquisition targets at a cheaper price.
Right.
And you know what? I happen to believe that if Shutterfly doesn't do this, they're the next acquisition target. So remember, you know, they added a pretty significant organization. They've got a lot of work to do: online ordering, mobile optimization, systems development, new products. And then you mentioned hammering away at the competition. Well, they have to. I mean, we've already seen a more aggressive LifeTouch account sales effort. So, yeah, hammer away at the competition. I'd push everywhere, but particularly go after preschool and go after those major markets first. Shutterfly wants email addresses, and LifeTouch needs to get accounts in order to get access to mom and her email.
You brought up an important point that I hadn't thought about. Shutterfly is a publicly traded company, which means they're under a different style of management with very different pressures coming from the shareholders, and that tends to be a much more driven and focused company. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree, quarter by quarter. I mean,
right.
And
results have to come in quarter by quarter, or changes are made. And I mean, it's driven in 3-month cycles.
Absolutely. I mean, they already made a move on their marketing, you know, their chief marketing officer,
right,
and brought someone in who they felt had a better fit and a better vision for what needs to happen to execute against this new acquisition. So absolutely right. A lot of pressure.
So the first half of the acquisition was about customer acquisition, direct access to 10 million households. Shutterfly has openly stated that that was one of the main reasons that they purchased LifeTouch.
Mm-hmm.
But the second half of the equation is this life cycle retention that we talked about earlier. And this is where school photographers need to sit up and take note. We all know it costs a lot to acquire a customer, and it's less expensive to retain those same customers. Shutterfly just made a strong statement that 10 million households are worth about $825 million, and that's $82.50 per household. Now, there was some overlap, which drives that number up, so let's say it's closer to $90 per household.
Mm-hmm.
Shutterfly doesn't plan on giving up these customers now that they've spent the $82.50. And if we're running this company in our speculation here, keep in mind the CEO of Shutterfly comes from the Amazon umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as customer retention is concerned, Amazon is the king. Essentially, they make me pay $119 a year for my Prime membership. Mm-hmm. So essentially, I'm paying to be loyal to Amazon, right? I mean, talk about a company that's figured out customer loyalty. And now we've got a CEO at Shutterfly who's coming out of that mindset and that running a business with those types of goals in mind.
You bet.
Do you have any thoughts on customer retention tactics that we might see?
Oh, my gosh. How much time do we have? I mean, it's just, oh, man. Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say I agree 100%. They don't plan on losing those customers, and I'd argue that $82.50, it's not a bad number, really. Not if you can monetize that customer, or at least a significant portion of them, for a lifetime.
Right.
And they have a customer retention rate, I believe it's 75% TW. So I'm sure they'd love it to be higher, and I'm sure they're going to do everything possible to drive it higher. But let's say you can expect to see that they at least maintain the same tactics. Well, then you can probably assume you're going to get about a 75% retention rate going forward of the LifeTouch customer, right?
Right.
Now, think promote that free lifetime storage. I think that is huge for a couple of reasons. First, mom continues to do business with Shutterfly because that's where her images are. And second, because it becomes, and I think I mentioned this earlier, a switching cost issue with mom. She's going to put pressure on that school to say, hey, retain LifeTouch because of my relationship and the loyalty that I have to Shutterfly. So it's going to become really inconvenient for mom if the school decides to leave LifeTouch for another photographer.
Right.
I guess I wish I had more time to talk about this, but think about what Shutterfly's vision and mission is, what their intent is. They intend to retain those customers. And just look at that go-to-market strategy. It says it all. They want to be present for every important milestone and celebration of their customer. So that's a lot of customer lifetime value over a long period of time. You push products out. You build that loyalty. You make the switching cost really difficult. You make it as easy as possible for mom to do business with you.
The reason I wanted to interview Mark Shainrock and get an insider's view of LifeTouch and the Shutterfly acquisition is because I stand firmly on the side of independent photographers and labs, and I want to make sure independents can maintain a healthy competitive advantage as we move headlong into this new landscape. Having been a photographer, account manager, and lab director at a photography company that survived in LifeTouch's shadow and at times competed directly, I wanted to present this information as a public service announcement. That old, slow photography company, a Model T Ford coughing up black smoke and saddled with ESOP debt, just turned into a sleek, shiny Silicon Valley Tesla Roadster. And those of us on this side, we need to take note and make aggressive plans to compete toe-to-toe in this new mobile world. If you don't have a digital strategy in place, LifeTouch, with Shutterfly at the wheel, is about to blow right by, picking up our customers along the way. And once they have our customers, they don't have any intention of letting go. I'd like to thank our guest for his insight, speculation, and openness to talk about his experience inside the mothership. Mark, thank you for joining me today.
You betcha, TW. It was a pleasure, and I guess I've never been part of a public service announcement before, so it feels good. Hey, you know me, and those that do know that I have this adage, if you don't innovate, you'll evaporate. And so I hope folks pay attention to the message you're delivering here.
Thanks, Mark. And thank you for listening to Hanging Pixels, a podcast for professional photographers. My name is T.W. Woodward, and on behalf of our guest, Mark Shainrock, we want to thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe to Hanging Pixels on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, or on the Hanging Pixels Facebook page. Please direct any comments to the Hanging Pixels Facebook page, and regardless of the platform, if you enjoyed the show, please give us a thumbs up, five stars, or sparkling review. Thank you.